If your small business has a problem, you could say,
"Ugh, just my luck."
But you should say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and in any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Worried parents across the country have had routine and necessary developmental checks for their children, with public health nurses suspended, with some parts of Ireland without a public health nurse due to staffing shortages. One of those parts of Ireland is North Dublin, at least some parts of North Dublin. Catherine Stocker, Social Democrats councillor for Clontarf, has been directly affected by it. Catherine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Give us a sense of what you experienced.
So I have a lovely little girl who turned two this week. Her name is Kate, and she has not had a developmental check of any kind since she was 3 months old. So we got the kind of initial days check and then the 3 month checkup. But typically there would be a 9 months check and then a 21 to 24 months check. I've called the health centre a few times and been told that the public health nurse is on maternity leave, but that there's no cover for that. I do see in the coverage that other parents have received letters with barcodes telling them that they won't be receiving those checks. In our area, or certainly my experience, is there's no communication unless you make contact with them. And what I was essentially told was that if I had specific concerns, they would consider seeing her, but otherwise that they are just not conducting those checks.
But surely the whole idea of early stage developmental checks is to catch situations when the parents don't have specific concerns.
Yeah. So, I mean, those kind of public health nurse checks are really a fundamental part of the primary and community care system, and they are designed to be preventative. You know, you can't expect new parents, particularly new parents, to know everything they're looking out for, which is why we have these systems in place. And I suppose, you know, the idea behind the whole Sláinte care system is that there is strong primary and community care that catches problems at an early stage or any difficulties at an early stage, so they don't escalate and become more problematic. And in that, like, I have a very specific concern for kind of vulnerable families and communities, because this is my third child. I have some idea, or my fourth child, but that's a different issue. My third child in my home, I have some idea, you know, what I'm doing, or at least I hope I have some idea what I'm doing. But when you're talking about maybe a first time parent or a parent who is maybe English is their second language, so they're, you know, not as familiar with our systems, and maybe they haven't grown up in Ireland themselves, they don't know how to access systems as easily, or maybe our traveller communities who tend to be more at risk, or, you know, children who are experiencing health issues or disability issues. Like, when the system has cracks, it is typically the most vulnerable who fall through those cracks. And that's what we're going
and
to
I
see
assume
here
as well. Some of the kind of things that are checked in those public health interventions, they're not the sort of thing that intuitively you would spot. I mean, fat creases on a thigh and what it means for spinal development, nobody would know that if they haven't got some, either had a child go through it before or have some basis, basic understanding of public health. It's a lot to expect a parent to do without that support.
Well, absolutely. I mean, none of us are medical experts, and that is why we have medical experts that we can go to, you know.
And when you got the letters, was there anything made by way of apology? Was it, "We are sorry, we wish we could," or was it just, "Now we're not doing them"?
I didn't get any letter. I just never got any appointments. And when I rang up to ask why I'd never gotten any appointments, because obviously I'd had them with my previous children, I was told that they were, you know, experiencing staff shortages due to lack of maternity care coverage. And I mean, I want to say here clearly, obviously, I 100% support the rights of public health nurses to take their full maternity leave. But we need to ensure that there's a system that makes sure there is cover for that, both for the general public and so that the staff working within those services aren't stressed and under pressure. For me, I was aware of this personally. And then in 2024, early 2024, a constituent brought to my attention as well that public health nurses in training in graduate programmes are paid less than any other nursing specialty in training. So, you know, this was raised with me by a constituent and I brought it at the time to our then health spokesperson, Roisin Shortall and the Social Democrats. And she submitted some parliamentary questions around it. And those confirmed that. So the information we got back from the HSE were that public health nursing postgraduates are paid at the minimum point on the staff nursing scale and then at 80% of the PHN scale in clinical placement, whereas other nurses in children's and general nursing or psychiatric and mental health nursing retain their current position on the salary scale and any incremental credits. So, you know, we are in a situation where we have a massively increasing need because of an increasing population and the commitments of Sláinte Care to primary care for public health nursing. And actually, we're doing nothing to incentivise those people into the system.
Is one of the issues or one of the challenges that it is universal? Because if you take the area that you represent in Clontarf, you have some of the richest people in the country living within that catchment. You have some of the highest house prices within that catchment. Is there an argument to be said that those who could afford to get those kind of checks for their kids should do so privately and free up the public system for those who can't?
OK, so I represent, as you've said, the Clontarf local electoral area. And in that there is obviously Clontarf itself. And there are some people within that area who would have substantial money. And then there are people who wouldn't. But also it encompasses Donnycarney, parts of Artane, Beaumont, Fairview, Merino. So it's much broader than that in terms of the income.
But that's my point. Should those who should there be universal supply to those who can afford it? Because they are obviously, if there is pressures for availability, the fact that people with money who might be able to do it privately are using public services can't help.
No, I think this needs to be universal service provision and Sláinte Care, which the Social Democrats spearheaded and which the government nominally at least accepted, accepts the premise of universal health care provision and particularly strengthening our primary and community care services. There shouldn't be a difficulty with provision of this. We are a state with an awful lot of money. We are a state with a very talented workforce. This is an artificial shortage generated by a failure of strategy. So, as I say, we are underpaying PHN postgrads. And what that has resulted in, the information we got back when we put in questions around that was that there has been nearly a quarter decrease in the number of nurses signing up for a public health nurse speciality training between 2019 and 2024. So at the time when we need them most, we're getting fewer and fewer into training.
Now, the difficulty would be, or rather, it would be an easier problem if you had a surplus of nurses across the system and a difficulty in getting them to move into public health. But you don't. You have a shortage of nurses across the entire system. So even if you do create equality with the hiring into the public health system, you then take nurses from another aspect of the system. So how do we solve the bigger problem, which is we just don't have enough nurses?
Well, we need a staffing strategy right across the healthcare sector to actually deliver the universal healthcare that we need. We need to increase student nurse training. We need to increase conditions and improve conditions for our nurses. So, I mean, many of the nurses I speak to, both friends and, you know, people I meet on the doors, they are incredibly frustrated within the system because it is so under-resourced and under-supported. And it's very hard to recruit and retain people into a system where that is the case. So we need a proper strategy to address that. I mean, there is, in early 2024, the HSE provided the minister with a report on the recruitment and retention of public health nurse and community registered general nurses. that has still not been published. So the minister, albeit a different minister, has had that for nearly a year now, and the public have had no sight of it. The media have had no sight of it. So we would be, in the Social Democrats, calling on the new Minister for Health to, you know, immediately publish that report on the recruitment and retention of public health nurses, which gives findings on how we might actually improve this situation. But our experience, and my personal experience of our healthcare system and that of many people, in the last government, the Minister for Health talked a lot about improving women's healthcare, right? And I'm 100% behind that as a woman. However, what they're actually doing is playing healthcare Jenga. You know, rather than building a strong foundation and building up from it, they pull something, they pull a block from beneath to put a block on top and compromise the structural integrity of the whole system over and over again.
And have you got a sense of how widespread this problem is? Because obviously you've direct experience of it from within your own electoral area, but in talking to colleague councillors around the country, how widespread is it?
So I have personal experience of it, and then anecdotally within local kind of baby toddler community groups, all of that, other parents are experiencing the same. I know that there is a significant shortage. I think there's a 6% drop in the number of public health nurses over the last number of years, despite an increased need for them. So I think it is widespread across the system, but it is particularly bad in the Dublin area from talking to colleagues, because I would say the costs of living in the Dublin area, around housing, around childcare, around all of those things, are incredibly high, which means that on a current nursing salary, it's a harder ask to meet.
Well, interesting. A text say it's an absolute disgrace. These checks are very important. My own daughter had late diagnosed hip dysplasia that was only diagnosed because we raised concerns at her 3-year check. Totally unacceptable that children are losing out on this. Well, with us is Dr. Kieran Moore, who's medical paediatric consultant and liaison psychiatrist, professor of psychiatry at UCD. Kieran, how significant are these interventions, and what are the kind of things that they catch?
First of all, I wouldn't disagree with anything that's been said so far. I mean, they're very significant. I think, unfortunately, as a society and in terms of our government at present, we tend to focus on illnesses after the fact, after they've been diagnosed. And we're very good at doing that, at treating people. But to use another phrase, it is very much from the horse's bolted, and we're not good at either financially supporting or any kind of support at the other end, which is, you know, the idea of early intervention and picking things up early. And why that is, I don't know. But like in terms of investment, in terms of talking about it, and I'm very impressed that you're talking about today, we're just not picking up on the range of physical and psychiatric or mental health difficulties and developmental difficulties like autism and ADHD and hip dysplasia, congenital dislocation of the hip. There's multiple early rheumatological difficulties as well. And, you know, we seem to think it's fine to not put any emphasis on that, because it is screening by definition. So, you know, if we don't know about it, we don't have to care about it. And the fact that we do have to care about it years later for both the patient but for the state as well doesn't seem to be taken on board whatsoever. And, you know, like some of this is quite solvable, that we just focus more both in terms of money. And some of the bits I know, like rent and all that, are difficult to sort out. But it is important that we do it and that we pay, you know, that disparity in payment. It means that really good, interested nurses are not going to go into it. I mean, they can't afford to do it. And, you know, we do that at our peril, because public health nurses are the first interaction with the health system for children with many difficulties. And what happens then is that people end up going to emergency departments, which are just not set up to deal with the difficulties, and GPs who are already oversubscribed. So that as a nation and as a society, we're just saving up problems the whole time without addressing it properly.
You mentioned some of the neurological issues that get caught in early intervention and early screening, a la ADHD and autism. Can you give us a sense of how early on in a child's development some of those issues can be caught, and what's the consequence if they are not?
So, for instance, autism can be picked up very early on, you know, even at certainly at 18 months, but even earlier. Parents will often know, with a lot of the developmental aspects, when you ask them, they often won't go looking for help because they don't have the time, or most of us want to believe that things are okay and that it'll sort itself out. So until you have somebody who actually knows what's going on or who is able to use a checklist or something, they're not going to look for the help. So, parents will know from almost 7 weeks onwards, believe it or not, in some cases, when a child begins to smile, that there's something not right. But certainly by 10 months, 12 months, you have a very good sense of it. And if some of these children who have, say, difficulties with social interaction or difficulties with speech or difficulties with learning or difficulties, say, with walking, if you don't intervene in those early situations, then you kind of have lifelong problems right across the spectrum, from, as you said, neurological conditions to walking to talking to school. And then in terms, even from a purely economical point of view, which tends to, you know, exercise governments particularly, those people will not, be net providers to the state, even in terms of taxes. And so that's a terrible thing to have to say, but sometimes that's what tends to focus people. But not to talk then of how appallingly difficult it is for children themselves and for families. And for instance, even if you do pick it up, and this is the other issue, is that, again, back to primary care, even if there's a query of autism, to try and get actually seen then, because it goes up from there, and without getting into the whole difficulties, but between the various different services like DDNT or Children's Disability Network or CAMHS, as they call it, to primary care psychology, there's a huge focus on saying no, that somebody doesn't fulfill certain criteria that sometimes are not even clearly met out in the first place, so that even when you are looking for help, it's very hard to get it.
Kieran, thank you very much. That's Dr. Kieran Moore, who's Medical Paediatric Consultant Liaison Psychiatrist and Associate Professor of Psychiatry at UCD. Catherine, just finally on that, do you regret to any extent that you didn't go, or that your party didn't go into government, that might have given you more leverage on issues like this?
I'll say two things to that, Anton, just very briefly, if I can respond to what Kieran said there. My two older children are both neurodivergent in different ways, and my younger of those two didn't have his 3-year developmental check because of COVID. So I've kind of seen firsthand how difficult it is to get that support. And, you know, we've been on the primary care psychology waitlist since 2022. I've very much endorse what he's saying there. I don't regret that we didn't go into government, because I think that the parties that are in government, their approach to this is absolutely wrongheaded. And, you know, we tried to have those conversations. We tried to talk about pivoting to a different way of managing these kind of public services and public systems, and they were not accepting that.
Catherine, thank you very much. Catherine Stocker, Social Democrats councillor for Clontarf.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just $3. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.